This week, we have several stories about why and how people pray. Today, prayer and health. Later in this half hour, the controversy over research into the health benefits of prayer. But first, why some people say a prayer for healing.
For over 1,000 years, according to the Encyclopedia of Jewish Prayer, Jews have been calling for a blessing upon the community by reciting Misha Berach.
Misha Berach avoseinol Averlo mitzvot ve'yavakot.
Misha Berach is Hebrew for the one who blessed, the one who blessed our ancestors. The prayer is often said on behalf of the sick. In medieval France, the Misha Berach acquired its traditional place in the service, where it largely remains to this day. Professor Lawrence Hoffman is a Reform rabbi and a scholar of Jewish liturgy. He says the Misha Berach is said for those who are called to witness the reading of Scripture.
They have the opportunity to have a blessing said over them or over people who are near and dear to them. So it's a prayer, therefore, for people about whom they care deeply. It may be someone who's sick. It may be somebody, perhaps there may be a man, and it's his wife who's just given birth. He wants to pray for his new child and for his wife. Or it may be for other members of the community in a variety of different circumstances. Nowadays, people tend to think of it as basically a prayer for healing, but originally it was much broader than that.
Lawrence Hoffman says the Misha Berach has long been a popular prayer with Jews in different times for different reasons. In pre-modern times, people believed that God controlled health, and they prayed, hoping for results. Today, he says, people pray to reach out to others. Nowadays, he says, families and neighborhoods are impermanent.
And so people are fundamentally lonely, or if not lonely, at least they feel alone when things are on their minds. And the opportunity to come to the synagogue, which can be a place of healing like no other place, recommends itself.
In the movement in which you are a rabbi, in the Reform movement,
right,
the Misha Berach disappeared for decades.
Yes, it did, as a matter of fact, though I want to be careful not to say it disappeared everywhere. Nonetheless, in general, that's true, and that's partially because the Reform movement grew up largely in Germany. Germany was not a public place. It was a place where, in fact, you kept your private affairs to yourself. Worship was not a place where, in fact, you wanted to stand out as an individual. You rather lost your identity in the large crowd. And so, by and large, people didn't want things that were bothering them, or even things that they were happy about, to be announced publicly.
The Misha Berach prayer returned to many Reformed Jewish temples as a congregal prayer in the 1990s. One reason for its newfound popularity there was its new setting, a tune written by a singer named Debbie Friedman, with words in both Hebrew and English.
Bless those in need of healing with refuah shlema, the renewal of body, the renewal of spirit.
This is the version of the prayer sung every week at Congregation Adat Shalom in Bethesda, Maryland. It's a Reconstructionist synagogue. That's a small movement with similarities to both Reform and Conservative Judaism. Every Saturday at services, members of Adat Shalom who wish to go to the pulpit. Perhaps they name someone they're praying for. They hold on to one another, and with the congregation, they sing the prayer for healing that they came to our studio to sing.
Misha Berach avoteinu mikor habracha limoteinu. May the source of strength who blessed the ones before us help us find the courage to make our lives a blessing. And let us say, Amen.
Jane Handler, Michael Laufer, Jeff Turetsky, and Sandy Brody came to our studio to talk about why they say this prayer. By profession, Jane is a retired lawyer. Michael is a telecommunications engineer. Jeff is a pediatric oncologist. And Sandy, who spoke first, is a life coach. She says she believes that praying for healing works.
I'm astounded by some of the research that when we say healing prayers, it makes a difference. I have a colleague whose brother was on death's door, and they became very active in saying a prayer for him, and he's living miraculously without cancer anymore. And in my case with my father, it felt like I could actively assist him in that way.
That those who have prayers said for them might fare better.
Yes.
Others, Michael?
I do not know if it has a therapeutic effect for the other person. I, of course, would hope it does, but I have too much of a scientific background to really necessarily believe that. But I do know that it has a therapeutic effect for myself. A lot of the other prayers that we say are not directed in a very personal way towards day-to-day life. And here you feel you are actively doing something directly related to your own life. And there's a certain comfort in that.
Jeff, Michael made reference to his scientific background. You're a doctor.
Yeah. Well, I think that from a purely you pray and you get a result, that's a big stretch. I think, though, and I have certainly seen cases where emotional support for families and emotional support for children are really remarkable. I've seen kids live a lot longer with these types of supportive tools in place. So certainly when I think about my practice, I try to encourage all aspects of things that can help the patients do well. And that's all part of the same complement. I think it's frankly as important as chemotherapy, although I certainly wouldn't not give someone chemotherapy. I mean, they need that to cure their cancer. But I would certainly want these supplemental pieces to be as present as a family can and is interested in having.
One thing that makes the Misha Berach and its newfound popularity is that I guess it happens at a moment where there's some reexamination of what we mean by these two phrases, the renewal of body, the renewal of spirit. That even at the most sophisticated level of the practice of medicine, there's some acknowledgement that healing is not just a biochemical process. That's not what's happening.
Right. That's the part that people are now struggling to define. I mean, the NIH now has created a whole institute, the Institute for Alternative Medicine, and one of its missions is to figure out how do you measure these things. But I think that in this case, people will anecdotally tell you that magic happens under these moments.
Jay?
Many times you're praying for people who you know are not going to be physically healed. And healing really can have a meaning that's separate from curing. You are helping to heal yourself or hoping that they will have the kind of healing that will give them some sort of peace with their situation.
Michael, you're about to say.
One thing I did want to mention is this is a very accessible prayer for people. You don't have to believe in God to say it. You may hope there's a God. You don't necessarily know. But it's not required. I mean, the words are, you know, may the source of strength who bless the ones before us. And that, for many people, is God, and that's fine. But for many people, it's their own faith or their own beliefs or the beliefs of the people before them that sustain them. So this, for them, will work without necessarily having to invoke divine intervention, which, at least today, not everybody feels that comfortable with.
It's hard to disagree with these words. They're very gentle in a way, and it's hard to say you don't want to renew spirit, you don't want to renew things, and so I think in that sense, it really is a brilliant composition in all senses.
Pediatric oncologist Jeff Turetsky of Congregation Adat Shalom in Bethesda, Maryland. We also heard from Michael Laufer, Jane Handler, and Sandy Brody. Sandy was the one who mentioned research showing the benefits of prayer. Not everyone trusts that research, and that story is next on All Things Considered.